Live from the Most High Studio in Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Recovery Rundown with James Goodson. Recovery-related news and information delivered to you weekly. It's the Recovery Rundown.
This is the Recovery Rundown on Most High Media. I'm James Goodson. According to a new study, adolescents who regularly use marijuana have an increased risk of depression and anxiety as adults. Researchers at the University of Oxford in England analyzed over 23,000 individuals from 11 international studies. The purpose of the study was to see whether use of cannabis in young people is associated with depression, anxiety, and suicide in early adulthood. Doctors found that marijuana use among adolescents is associated with a significant increased risk of depression and suicide in adulthood. For more information and a full analysis of the study, go to sciencedaily.com. Earlier this year, just hours before the first federal trial in the opioid epidemic was set to begin, four pharmaceutical companies who are accused of being largely responsible for the opioid crisis in America reached a settlement totaling just $260 million. The four companies, McKesson, Cardinal Health, AmerisourceBergen, and Teva, have a combined estimated valuation of over $76 billion.
Wait, hold up. So these guys only had to pay $250 million combined?
Yeah, a couple hundred million dollars between the four drug companies that are worth like $70 billion combined.
$250 million, that's like the equivalent of like $100 for
not
a normal person.
That's like $5 for you and me. I mean, these guys rake in billions of dollars of profit quarterly.
Right. So this is the thing. If you're looking for these institutions to solve this problem, stop looking there. It's going to be us. It's up to us people in recovery to help the other addicts and to get this message out. And that's why what we're doing is so important. I don't mean to be self-promotional right now, but that's just whack.
The plaintiffs in this particular lawsuit were Summit and Cuyahoga counties in Ohio. Also, according to the details of the settlement, Teva Pharmaceutical, which is a major distributor of opioids such as oxycodone and fentanyl, will also be donating $20 million worth of the overdose-reversing drug Suboxone, which they also manufacture and sell. The opioid overdose epidemic has claimed almost 400,000 lives in less than 20 years. And according to several nonprofit health research organizations, expenses related to the crisis are said to have exceeded $1.5 trillion during this time. This was considered to be a test trial, which was meant to help shape a broader settlement of some 2,600 nationwide pending lawsuits related to the epidemic's toll. Well, when you need to know anything, where do you usually go? Many of us would automatically answer Google. Now that's true across all kinds of demographics, including people struggling with addiction. Earlier this year, Google reported an all-time record number of searches for addiction-related phrases. It's a trend the company decided to take action on by recently releasing a new tool for those in need of addiction treatment. It's called the Recovery Resource Hub. The hub allows users to search by specific geographical area for counseling, housing assistance, recovery support meetings, and more. Over 83,000 addiction recovery meetings are mapped out by location, making it easy for those in recovery to find support when and where they need it. The Recovery Resource Hub also allows users to leverage Google's locator to find nearby pharmacies that offer naloxone. This is a drug that can counteract the effects of opioid poisoning. This could mean the difference between life and death for tens of thousands of people every year. Over 20,000 pharmacies are included across the 50 states on Google's Recovery Resource Hub. Another useful resource is findtreatment.gov. The current presidential administration has unveiled this website. It's aimed at helping millions of Americans with substance abuse issues learn about and locate treatment options. This is the latest development in the government's efforts to address the nation's opioid crisis. The White House says it believes the site will enable the tens of millions of Americans with a variety of substance abuse and mental health issues to better access the care they need. Suicides and drug overdoses kill American adults at triple the rate today as they did just 17 years ago. And opioids are a key contributor to that rise. This is according to a new review and analysis published by a University of Michigan team. Using data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the researchers show that the sheer number of deaths from suicides and unintentional overdoses together rose from around 41,000 in the year 2000 to almost 120,000 in recent years. According to a key researcher, individuals with chronic pain are at clear elevated risk for both unintentional overdose and suicide. The goal of the study was to highlight the fact that these adverse outcomes likely go together, and effective efforts to treat those with chronic pain will likely need to consider the elevated risk of both overdose and suicide. So we wanted to take a closer look at the correlation between chronic pain sufferers, addiction, and suicide, and see how this is managed by someone who is sober yet suffers from chronic pain. We sat down with Emily Carver. She's one of our producers here at The Most High Show. Emily's in recovery from narcotics, and she has a disorder called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. This is an inherited disorder that affects her connective tissue. We'll let her better describe its symptoms.
All right, my name is Emily Carver. I suffer from chronic pain secondary to Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is a genetic disorder whereby your collagen does not, it's basically too elastic. I knew that I was starting to have pain and I was getting degenerative discs in my neck and things like that. And so I didn't know what it was, but I knew that I had alcoholism and that I didn't want to take, I didn't want to take any pain medication or anything like that for it. But then what happened is my colon stopped working because the collagen could not eliminate food, so they had to just take the whole entire thing out. And when that happened, they needed to put me on pain medication because I was having continued obstructions and all kinds of sequelae as a result of the surgery. And so at that point, they put me on a fentanyl patch and PRN narcotics, oxycodone. And so I was on that for about 2 years, and progressively they increased it so that, because with opioids, you have a tolerance and you need to increase it. I finally, what hit me was, it was like kind of like an emotional bottom. I just decided, I would scream out to God, God, where are you? I need you. Because I had had that relief before and it was gone now because of the pain medication. I couldn't feel it. And so I decided I was going to just wait for my next fentanyl patch refill and cut all of the packages open, and not to get high, but to just kill myself, to eat them all. So I prayed and prayed, but I really didn't want to do that because my dad's sister had committed suicide and I didn't want to do that to him. So I said, okay, I'll give this one more try. I'll go and I checked myself into a psych hospital for suicidal ideation, and I said, get me off these pain meds, and I don't want to be on Suboxone because I know that's like a long, whatever, drawn out process. So they did a 5-day Subutex wean and then got me off of it like that. I still had tons of symptoms for almost 6 months after, but they gradually declined. First of all, I need to accept, and this is where the programs helped me. I need to accept that I'm gonna have pain every day. And when it's a 5, I'm happy. If it's a 7, you know, things might be better tomorrow, but the alternative, I have no other alternative right now.
Alternative is narcotics.
Yes, opioids. Yes, opioids. And I, like I said, I've done that. And so what I do is I practice acceptance. And I, you know, I learned through the steps that I'm a big people pleaser. And so, like, I wouldn't want to go to meetings because I might need to sit down on the floor and stretch to listen.
Which I've seen you do here.
Yes.
Pretty interesting.
Yes, but today, I don't care. If I need a meeting, yeah. If somebody wants to look at me funny, whatever. But most people, you know, my friends know, and that's what I need to do to stay sober. It's just no way to live. Yeah. You can't drive, you know. And I'm trying to get to the point where I can work again. But I just accept that right now my job is to take care of myself and try to get stronger and be grateful for the things that I can do and the people I'm with and what I can contribute to the world rather than staying in self-pity. I just stay out of self-pity.
If you'd like more information on what you've heard here, or on any of our other programs, you can reach us at themosthighshow.com. Be sure to download our app for more recovery-related information and stories. Thank you for watching. I'm James Goodson. We'll see you next time on Recovery Rundown.
That rhythm.
And in other news, Rogers relapsed again.
Roger's not real, and anything else is a coincidence.